If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Merkel Media.
The driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, or if you'd like to have a conversation with us about your experiences on the road, go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the HammerLaneLegends.com webpage, hit the contact section, get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us, just get a hold of us. Hey, Shipper, you want to tell them about the voicemail line?
Short story. Let me slide that over there. Short story of anything crazy, wild, wacky, insane that you might have seen, somebody told you about, or you participated in yourself and caused it.
Yeah, there you go.
You want to, you know, release the burden of that?
There you go. That's
give
it.
Give us a call. Yes, 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375. Short story, 5-10 minutes. Anything longer than that, get a hold of Brian or Jack, and they'll schedule you to be on the show.
Yeah, just send us an email.
Or send us an email, whatever. Mm-hmm. Go with that snail mail thing. You know, I like the direct action. Pick up the blower and you're on with HQ.
Because I'm handing out my phone number to people left and right.
Yeah, it's like candy.
I'm going to put that on the webpage.
Yeah, it's like
there
candy.
You go.
Yeah. You should just do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything longer than that, get a hold of them. Just follow the simple directions,
It
says that, you know, the show's not on air. No, you're right. We're not on air, but
yeah, it's a voicemail.
Follow the prompts. You hear Tony's sweet voice and you go from there.
That's why it's called voicemail.
Yeah. Well,
because we're not on air.
It could be deceiving. Oh, the show's not on air. Okay. They're done. They're quit.
It's over. The show's done.
The show's over. Anyway.
Well, anyway, all that being said, how about buy me a coffee?
Go ahead. Buy us a coffee. Keeps us fueled. Keeps us caffeinated. Keeps this, what they call a show, going on.
Right.
Follow simple directions. If you feel free, feel like you want to contribute, fine. If not, thanks for looking.
Yeah, the address is in the show notes because Shipper's right. apparently not going to tell you.
Oh, buymeacoffee.com/Hammerlane. I was getting around it. I thought I already said that. Yeah, well. No. You know,
well anyway, all of that being said.
Right. And who's Shipper, on the blower tonight?
All right. Who are we talking to, Ship? We're talking to Mickey. Mickey, how are you doing?
And not
the, well, I'm doing well.
Not the person thanks, from God. Florida.
What?
Well, Mickey, the mouse, you know, the head of mouse in charge.
For the love of Pete.
This is Mickey, other than Mickey Mouse.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yeah, different spelling.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, well, believe me, I had a different name until he clarified that. I mean, no, that can't be like that. But it was.
Yeah.
So anyway, way to ease into
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I know, right? Here we go. It's already uncomfortable.
That's all right.
Open mouth. Thanks, Ship. That's
hey.
Good.
In case you're wondering, there's a new TA truck stop that is on Fish Lake Drive in Aikens, Arkansas.
That's
they have 100 spots for trucks. Just thought I'd bring that up.
That's
to you.
That's fantastic.
Oh, and they only have 6 hours.
Well,
never mind. Anyway, back there.
Might work out better if they had it the other way around. You know right. what I'm saying? Anyway, back to Mickey because she's on the phone with the Shipper.
Yes.
How about that? Mickey, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us. We really do appreciate it. We just want to introduce you first and say hello. So, hello, Mickey.
Okay. Hello.
Hi.
Well, that's out of the way.
That, exactly. So, we'll start this conversation where we usually start.
Right. And, go ahead, Scratchy.
I know, right? I apologize, Mickey. I've been battling with this. This is like a cold that I don't know if it's a cold or allergies.
Or the nude COVID, whichever.
Yeah. Well, you can't catch it through the microphone, so we're good. So one way or the other, it's all right. But I apologize if it's any coughing or anything like that. I apologize for that. It's just a stroke. It's been like a month, and I just can't seem to, you know,
right.
just get it all. It,
that's probably like, allergies. I lived in Pennsylvania for a while. I didn't know the allergies.
Yeah, then. It's big. I'm allergic to the state. That's for sure. But anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself, Mickey. How'd you get into trucking and how long you've been driving and that kind of stuff? And what got you interested into it, you know, as you began this career?
I was kind of interested in trucking and stuff from the time I was about 12. I don't know. I just liked big trucks and thought they were cool. But I went on, I got a computer degree and worked for a county in California as an IT tech. And then I quit that job and I went to a different county as a systems analyst manager. And it was a really good job. I had 3 kids. I was raising pretty much on my own. And when I got the last one into college, I couldn't, be home by myself. I couldn't, and it was the empty nest syndrome, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, my job was really stressful. So I just quit and I, went to, Florida for about a year and watched my sister's kids while she was a major in the Army. And so it was about the time they were sending people over to Iraq and so I just took care of her kids. She was really busy and I needed kids. You know what I mean? So, we took a trip up to Nebraska. I went with my dad and my nephews and, we went to a family reunion up there and, we pulled a tent trailer and I kept looking at the back of trucks and where it's saying 32 cents a mile, right. 33 cents a mile or whatever,
that's a while
you know,
ago, isn't it?
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah. So anyway, I was pretty interested in that. And so I told my dad, I said, I'd like to drive a truck. He goes, you'd be good at it. Well, my dad never told me I'd be good at anything in my whole life. And so I was 44 when I went on the road. I went to truck driving school shortly after that. I finished in like 3 weeks. And so I went on the road and I went with Warner. Yeah. And so I was there about 6 months and then I started training. I went through their training school or whatever. And so then I started dealing with students and that was a trip.
I bet. God bless you. No. I don't know.
You know, I don't think I've ever met a really dumb person until I had some of those students. They were.
I was going to say, you were in Pennsylvania.
I had one lady that thought. I had one lady that thought Baltimore was a state.
Wow.
I am not kidding. I'm like, yeah, you need to study this map book.
She's going to get lost.
Google became her friend.
Wow. And, but, you know, it's funny because, I mean, and I don't mean it in a mean way, but it does attracts a lot of different people into the industry. And, you know, who can blame people for wanting to at least give it a shot and give it, you know, it's a good paying job, you know.
Right.
But no, it says.
Well, there's so much turnover. You know, I told my kids, I said most of the truck drivers, but like the majority, like probably over 50%, have been on the road less than six weeks in a truck.
Yes.
You want to be careful around them. They're not going to be fun.
Yeah, they're not looking out for you because you got to look out. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's insane. Yeah. It's insane. I mean, it's a hard lifestyle.
It is. It really is. It's not an easy job. It's not an easy lifestyle. And it takes a lot of attention on your part when you're behind the wheel, which a lot of people don't have today. It's like attention span is like as long as a TikTok video.
Do you see some of these people driving with their laptops open, watching a movie? That theory went out the window.
Yeah, attention span is non-existent. Yes. I know.
Right. After about 4 years, I was looking for, you know, like a local job or whatever, but they didn't want to hire women.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they don't. Yeah, like I would talk to one guy there that would like be, oh, yeah, we need some women in here. And then we talk to the boss, like the big guy, and he's like, nah. And I was totally qualified. But,
right. You know. Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's one of those weird, I don't understand it, because that pit. You know, we've been, you know, they've been hiring females, you know, women drivers for, you know, I know, you know, you try and be so, you know, anyway. Yeah, exactly. And it just comes through and you don't mean to. I don't mean it in any kind of way. When I talk to like Jack, my son, he's like, you know, he constantly reminded me of things I can't say. So, whatever, you know, it is what it is. But, at Pitt, we've been hiring women drivers for a while. I mean, I know we have more now than we did when I first started 26 years ago, but that's, you know, normal progression. I can't imagine anybody not wanting to hire a qualified driver because of their gender.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't. Because, I mean, you know, we need drivers. I want to be able to relax and take a break, you know? I'm sure you do. You've been, you know, how long have you been driving for?
I drove for 7 years and I quit, and I'll tell you that story. That was insane.
Well, driving is enough to make you want to quit, but
I say that every night.
Right. And every night he comes back. It's crazy. Every morning he quits and every night he's back. So
yeah. Well, there were a couple of times where I came off the road for 3 or 4 months for family issues, but
sure.
You know, I was single, so that wasn't the issue. It was my parents.
I got you. Yeah.
Like, my dad was dying of cancer. I came off the road for 6 months to take care of him. Then I had another month taking care of my mom after he died.
Wow.
And then I went back on the road, and then the incident happened that made me quit. I was done. I was like, no more.
I can appreciate that. That's got to be a burden to bear. But how long did you train for Werner? How long were you a trainer?
I was training pretty much the whole time. Once you start making that kind of money, because you make pretty good money as a trainer. I mean, 3 mile that truck drives, and you can drive it twice as far as you can. You know, it's like teaming, but you don't split the money. It's all yours.
Right. Wow.
It's good money. It was good money. I think in like 6 months I saved up $10,000.
So, wow.
You know, it was pretty good.
That is really good. I have kids and they didn't let me save up that kind of, you know,
right.
Like I should have started driving after the kids were grown up and out of the house. Cause now it's a lot easier. You know, they all grew up, moved away, and it's like, okay. So I know what you mean. You know, once they kind of move on, you know, it's a little bit lighter load. you know, just for yourself personally. And, you know, just a little more freedom. And I don't mean it in a mean way or anything. It's great having kids, and it's great having adult kids. It was great having kids at home, but it's great having adult kids. You know, but then you get grandkids and you get, you know.
I've been pretty lucky with my kids. My kids are awesome. And they were all pretty self-sufficient. You know, I didn't have to send them a lot of money or anything. And what was good about driving, too, was, you know, I could take my home time, especially with Warner. You take your home time anywhere in the U.S., you know, pretty much. And so I would just alternate. I would go 3 weeks out and then go visit my daughter in California, and then 3 weeks out and go visit my son in Northern California. And then, you know, so that was really cool.
Yeah, that is. That's really nice. It enables you to stay connected with your kids and yet have time, you know, where you, when on your downtime, or it's not, you're trying to do it while you're on the road. I mean, there's so many, you know, years ago, you know, it was one of those things where you were gone for, and I don't know if it's still that this way, but back then when I first started driving, you were gone for a month, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, sometimes 2 months, and you were just out. And that's just the way it was. It's the job. It's like, well, no wonder most of these people don't have, are divorced or, whatever. You know, it's a rough life. It really is a hard life. It's a
really, really rough life. It is. And don't think they eat healthy. I mean, the food, truck stop food is just nasty. It's most of it. And you can't eat every meal out because then you end up spending all your money.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's funny.
I mean, I can attest to that because bottle of soda now is $2.45.
I know.
I'm like, I'm dying.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly.
Even a bottle of water.
Yeah,
It's not even flavored, and it's costing you $2.
Yeah,
the best thing to do is just go to Costco, buy a case of everything, just put it in the bunk. You know,
and that's it. You got it. It's the only way to go. You know, you have to do that. You know, it's I always kind of chuckle because it's like it's one of those things where they tell you, well, you know, as a truck driver, you got to make sure you eat right.
And you got to make sure you get
proper rest. And you got to make sure you exercise. But we also want you to work 14 hours a day. And you're just like,
get on your butt for 10 hours and then get up and do the hardest work of your life for 30 minutes.
It's a sure way to drop over from a heart attack. It's like, I haven't done anything for the past 10 hours, but sit. Now get out.
Yeah, my legs are numb. Give me a minute.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's one of those things that I think about so many times, and it just makes me chuckle because it's like, who are you kidding? Who's got time to get enough rest, eat right? Well, eat right you can do. I get you. But, you know, the getting enough rest and getting exercise and then being at work for all these hours, you know, because the government says you can work 14.
What I don't understand is eating right. Give me a Diablo sandwich and a Dr. Pepper. I'm in the hurry.
Nothing
wrong with a Diablo sandwich.
I have no idea what a Diablo sandwich is. So
watch Jackie Gleason on Smokey and the Bandit.
Okay. I got you. Anyway.
Anywho.
Well, I got some funny student stories for sure.
Hey, your phone's going, Chip.
Oh, there's gonna be heavy rain.
Thanks.
That's the weather. Right. That's the weather on the threes.
Fantastic.
All righty.
Now back to traffic, Mickey.
Sorry. And the funny thing about that is you never see those trucks say student driver on the back like you do the car.
No, they don't. They don't.
Yeah, it would be self-explanatory then.
Right.
You know, prime student driver. I thought about
getting one of those magnetic signs put on the back of the trailer.
Don't blame me. He's a student.
Oh, my word. Anyway, go ahead, Mickey.
Okay, so we'll start with this lady. So I picked a lady up in Omaha. We've got a terminal there, and I had spent about 3 days getting work done on the truck there. And so I picked up a student as I was leaving, and she was driving, and I was really tired. So I was like, I'm going to go lay down a little while. And I said, when you get to the freeway, so if you take this back road out of it's south of Omaha, and it goes east, and you hit Highway 25, maybe 30, but I think it's 35. It goes down to Houston, you know, or it goes down to Dallas. Anyway, so you hit that road, and I said, when you get to the freeway sign, turn, you know, south. So I'm like, not that hard, right?
Right, exactly. Pretty simple.
Which way south?
Pretty simple.
Right.
So I went and laid down in the bunk, and I was asleep, and she came and woke me up. The truck was stopped, and I was like, where
Thank
are
God
we?
For
she,
that.
She said, well, I don't know where we are, but I've been driving about 3 miles, and it doesn't look like the road's getting any wider. I'm like, what are you talking about? So I get up and look, and she's on a 2-track dirt road.
Wow.
And she has gone 3 miles down it. We are in the woods.
Oh my God.
Luckily it was nighttime.
Understand. The store is not around here.
Right.
Wow.
Wow.
I was in shock. I'm like, what did you do? She goes, well, I never saw the freeway sign. I'm like, and you just kept going on a dirt road? What?
Well, there was probably a sign at the end there that said something free. Oh, it's okay. Or, free dirt.
Wow.
So, and it was curvy, too. Well, curvy dirt track. Oh, and I'd never seen her back before. She brand new on the truck, you know, it's first day on the trainer truck. And so I was like, okay, fine. I had to back up. So I made her walk like behind the trailer with a flashlight pointed at the edge of the 2-track so that I didn't leave it.
Right.
And she had to walk the 3 miles, and I backed up the 3 miles, and it took about an hour.
You know, I bet.
So when I got to the road, actually the road ends at the freeway. So you go under the freeway, and there's an exit on that side from the freeway. And then it's just this big open pavement, like a cul-de-sac, but square. And then this dirt road. And, like,
and she just went on the dirt road.
She just took the dirt road, I guess. I don't know. That was crazy.
I guess that's that
This is a weird entrance ramp. You know, usually they're paved.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah.
So I was pretty lucky that you know, it was kind of late by then, and there was no traffic, because I just backed straight up past the on ramp and then put her in the seat and stayed up, obviously.
Yeah, that's yeah. I'm sleeping now.
Right. Right.
Oh, my word. It makes you wonder where common sense went. You know, what happened? Where did
exactly.
that go?
It went south and she went east.
It went south and she stayed on the dirt
she
road.
Was reading her phone.
Wow.
Well, I had a similar thing happen in, you know, when you come into Tennessee from North Carolina. Oh, what? I forget what road that is. 95, 85? I don't know.
85.
Yeah. So we were supposed to go to Nashville. And so you go up Mont Eagle, right? So take the exit there and go up that freeway. I forget the number on that one. But anyway, you go up to Nashville. So you're in Chattanooga? Chattanooga, is it?
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's the first exit in the state. You know, you drive across the state line, at first, like, that, you know, goes to Nashville. So I'm like, okay, you know, just when you get to Tennessee, you know, take the first exit and go north. So did she? No. I woke up and she was 100 miles past that. We had to go to Knoxville and then take 40 to Nashville.
Wow, that's a long way around. Look at the miles
know.
You made, though. You know,
get a U-turn code for that.
Well, it didn't make sense to turn around at that point. I mean, she was literally 100. She was at mile marker like 115 or something like that.
Wow.
And, the exit that she wanted was that mile marker 4.
Yeah, she went way out of the way. Yeah.
Way out of the way.
That's lovely.
So I get on the phone with dispatching, and we're going to be a little late.
We made a wrong turn. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm a trainer too. You're always getting the heat for, you know.
Oh, I bet.
You're just doing, you know, I mean, they want you to sleep, but how are you supposed to sleep if they're doing stupid stuff like that?
Right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know,
that would be me on the blower. I can't fix stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is why you've never been a trainer, Shep. Right, yes. There's a reason why.
This guy can't back up. I left him there.
Yeah. Politically correct, Shipper. He's a people person.
That's it.
Yeah.
I had one lady. I only trained one man during that. It wasn't because I wasn't available to train men. It's just most men are married or something. His wives don't want him with a woman, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was mostly women I trained. And I had one lady who got on the truck, and she's kind of a big girl, really big girl. She was from Texas. And we were headed toward Omaha. And I think we're probably 2 states away still. And I picked her up, and she gets on the truck, and I said, well, it's nighttime, you know, I don't want you driving at night the first time, you know, I want you to be able to see the controls and everything. So just go hit the bunk and I'll just drive. So I'm driving along and I keep smelling like I'm behind a pig truck. Mm-hmm. You know how they smell.
Yep.
Okay. All I could smell is this pig truck, and it's getting stronger. And I'm like, I must be catching up with it. Well, I never saw a pig truck.
Well, you were.
Were you in front of the pig truck? Is that what you're going to say, Chip?
I almost left it flying. No.
Yeah, I know you.
Yeah, so I went to a truck stop, and I thought, well, maybe she's got to pee, you know. So I opened the curtain. And the smell that hit me was just unbearable. I was like, oh, my God. Oh. So,
get out.
Oh, God, she smelled nasty. So anyway, I closed that back up and went, what the hell? I never smelled anyone smelled like that ever.
Proceeded into the truck stop and bought every green Christmas tree she could find on the display.
Well, you know what I did? I had some showers saved up at Flying J. So I was like, oh, we're pulling Flying J. You're taking a shower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's either that or we don't have any free showers on our card. That's all right. We're going to go to the truck wash.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I take a shower, and I don't think she actually washed because she didn't smell much better afterwards.
Well, see, this way at the
truck wash, she's allergic to water.
At the truck wash, this way she can do her laundry all at the same time.
Oh, my word. I think that probably be one of the hardest things about training is you just don't know what you're going to get.
Yes. You
know? Yes. Well, at least you know what a box of chocolates. I know.
Yeah, right. And it's worse than a box of chocolates. Like, you know, chocolates at least are sweet. You know, there's some kind of redeeming factor there. But sometimes you don't know what you're going to get. I've never been a trainer. I've never trained. And I don't think I have the patience to do it. You know, like I think it takes a special kind of patience to do that. And then to deal with whatever personalities you get, whatever kind of, you know, what you're talking about here, whether or not you're dealing with somebody who showers regularly, deodorizes, you know, takes general hygiene, you know, yes. High school stuff, you know.
Excuse me, ma'am. Were you an actress on The Wizard of Oz? You were that witch, right? Melted
in the world,
right?
I don't know how people train. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it just takes a special amount of patience. And I'm glad I'm glad it worked out for you and you did it. But boy, I tell you, it does give you stories, doesn't it?
Yes. I'll tell you one about Pennsylvania too. So I had a student with me, and she was scared of the tunnels. You know, the tunnels as you get go west.
Yep, on the turnpike.
On 80, I think. Yeah.
On the turnpike. Yeah.
So they got those tunnels, and they're curved.
Yep.
Curved. Okay. So we're driving through one of the third one that she's driving through, and she kept complaining about, I don't like these tunnels. I don't like these tunnels. And she hit the wall.
Wow. Whoops.
And
it's just two lanes.
Just a little tip of the front of the trailer hit that curve,
Wow.
And she knocked the tile off and it fell, and she was just freaked out. So what do I do when we get to the next exit? I make her turn back around and go through the three tunnels again.
She's good to go, but no tunnels for her, please.
Yeah,
and there's then no more tunnels around.
She has to go through them again. So I'm like, basically, I'm thinking, you got to get back on the horse. So you're going to quit tomorrow.
Yeah, you got to get used to it. I mean, you're going to wind up doing this kind of stuff if you're going to be a driver. You got to get used to it.
At my point, at that point, I would have said, look. The faster you can get this truck wound up, the quicker you're going to get through it.
Right. Yeah.
Just hold your breath.
Just don't close your eyes.
Or pass out, whichever comes first.
Leave the tiles on the wall,
No wonder the tiles all fell off.
No, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, and then another one, too. So I had a student with me, and we were trying to find the freeway entrance. And there was you go under an overpass and then to the freeway entrance. And so I said, turn left here. Well, the clearance was 310, 312, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Three?
13.
Okay.
13.
We knew what 13, you 10, meant.
13, 12 or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, okay, we should be able to make that. No, she took an 8-inch curb.
Wow.
And we had a brand new trailer, brand new. It was completely immaculate.
We were 13.6, and I'm 8. Would be
now 12.6.
We're at 12.3 now with the deduction. It's like the Olympics.
Well, she took 6 feet of the top of that trailer off.
Oh, wow.
And then it was just like pancake. But luckily, it was the tearaway trailer, so, didn't hurt the bridge.
Right.
But we were stuck there, and it was rush hour traffic in Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
No, in Pittsburgh. It was in Pittsburgh. And I couldn't, she's crying, blubbering, So I'm like, I'll call the cops. So I called the cops, told them where we were and what the situation was. So they brought three cars out there. And people were trying to go around us on that 8-inch jump berm thing.
Wow.
And tearing they were tearing their mirrors off on the trailer.
Oh my word. That impatient.
Yeah. It was insane. So I'm just sitting there. I'm not getting out of here because, you get out and then they'll hit you.
Yep, they'll kill you. Now they're after you.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's still crying, and I'm like, so the cops came and he's like, you need to get this out of here. Can you back this up? I was like, yes, sir, but I don't have any hours. He goes, I didn't hear that. Back this fucker up. Okay.
This is an emergency traffic situation.
I will back it up.
Wow. He was serious, too.
Yeah, he was.
Wow. I don't know. You see videos of that kind of stuff. I've never seen, I've never been involved in one, but you see the videos on YouTube all the time,
The only thing you can say is, you hauled your first bridge.
Yeah. And you delivered it.
Right.
Well done.
Now, the object of the game was to not hit it.
Yeah.
So we'll practice that on the next one.
Well, at least not damage the brand new trailer. Right. That was the object. Didn't work out
well. Well, they punished us punished me. So they made us go sit in a yard. It was Friday night when this happened. We had to sit till Monday morning.
Wow.
Waiting to get the trailer, to pass the trailer off to get it fixed.
Get out. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, that was.
I'm the trainer. You're doing a little math. 13-6. What does this mean to you?
Stay off the 8-inch berm.
Yes.
That's what exactly. It means. Yeah. Wow.
It was. Oh, chilly, man.
Wow.
So that was one. Oh, and then I had a student. I picked her up in Portland. And she was a driver. I mean, she was in the military. Okay. And she had been driving in Iraq. And, but she wanted to, you know, she was a National Guard or whatever that was, you know. She had transferred over and she was, so she could drive. So I picked her up at night and I thought, well, she can drive. So I let her drive. We went north of Portland. I think we were going to Bellevue or something like that, Washington. Mm-hmm. And on, so we're on I-5. And it's probably 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, but it was dark. And she hit an owl. And it was a big owl. It was one of those humongous ones, you know. And when it hit the windshield, it it kind of just stuck there.
Ooh.
And its wings were outstretched right in front of her, and she was screaming, and I was laughing. I swear I could see the little X's on his eyes. You know what I mean?
She's going through PTSD, and you're sitting there laughing.
Right. Put the waivers on.
I could not even talk. I was laughing so hard. I was like, so I said, slow down, slow down. So she started slowing down, and it went up over the top of the truck, and I'm thinking it's gone, you know. So right. We're driving about 2 hours up the road. She slows down to go to a truck stop, right? So she starts slowing down for the off ramp, and the owl slides back down right in front of her. I was like, oh my gosh.
And the owl saying to himself, you know, I think Fred was lying to me when he said it's a lot easier catching a ride than flying.
So eventually, it kind of slid off to the side and hit the mirror and was gone. But, you know, man, I could not talk. I was laughing so hard.
Wow.
And she was screaming again, you know.
It's the same owl. You already know the guy.
Just wave. It's good. It's good.
Wow.
Oh, my word. That's hilarious.
Well, you got that off the bucket list.
Yeah, how about it?
Right.
Yeah, you know, the good thing is she managed to keep it upright. You know, right. I imagine some people, you know,
the owl or the truck?
The truck.
Yeah,
the owl, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's hanging off a bridge. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not Cisco.
Yeah. You know, there's been better days.
Yeah.
Or worse.
I take the owl over the bridge. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
I still tell you that's a hell of a fifth wheel company on that truck.
Yes, sir.
I was thinking I should say something, and I was like, you know, I got nothing for this. Crazy.
Oh, that's freaking fantastic.
What else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a blast. I'm telling you.
I can do training.
I'm glad somebody else is doing it, and it's fun to hear the stories, but I'm glad it ain't me.
Yeah. I did have one scene one time, so. Just driving through this parking lot at a truck stop, and she clipped this guy's mirror and knocked it off his truck.
Oops.
And he gets out of there, the biggest guy I ever saw, humongous, and she goes, she did it. I'm like, dude, I wasn't driving. You know I wasn't.
And she says, well, you shouldn't have parked there.
Throw you under the bus. Holy cow.
No, he was driving the other way. She clipped it while we were talking to each other.
Wow.
Gotcha.
I don't even know what she was thinking, honestly. But
she was just thinking self-preservation at this point.
Right.
You know, here comes this guy, and he's enormous.
You look bad about that.
That is crazy. That sounds typical, though.
Yeah.
You know, any way we can get away from it, we're going to do it.
I picked up this one student in Tennessee, in Chattanooga, actually. And we're walking out of the hotel, you know, they keep them in the hotel until they get a trainer. And then she's got her bags with her. She goes, oh, I want to stop by the dumpster. I was like, okay. And she throws out 3 bottles of whiskey. Half drunk, and goes, I'm quitting today. And I was like, oh my God.
Wow. At least you could have done was finished one. You know? What the heck? Wow. That's some serious
first day of sobriety. Let's get in the truck.
Let's get driving.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm ready to train.
So over the next few days, she proceeded to get really hostile. And she was doing her, you know, like in intersections and stuff like that. She was like not taking them wide enough. You know what I mean? And so I'm sure she's going to. She was getting in the left lane to make the right-hand turn, but then she was crossing the lane, not paying attention if there was cars there.
Oof.
You're like, shit, she's going to kill somebody. So at one point, I reached over while she's driving, making this turn, and I'm like, she's going to get that guy. I just set the brake. I just pulled out the air brake.
Right.
We're stopping right here. And I made her get out of the seat, and she was really angry. I made her get out of the seat, and I drove to the terminal, straight to the terminal. And
here's your that trainee.
And I said, I want to talk to safety. So I went in there, talked to the safety guy, and I said, look, she can't be driving.
She needs a drink.
He goes, write all that down. So they fired her, and then they made me drive her to the freaking bus station.
Wow. What the freaking heck? That's yeah. Not talk about being thrown under the bus. This is the company throwing you under the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
What the heck? So how long did you work for them after that?
Yeah. I worked for Covenant for a little while and then went back to one. Oh, it looks funny, you know, like, you know, everybody says on the CD and stuff like that, they'll say, hey, Wiener, you know.
Right.
And so one night I was driving and I had the CB on, but I wasn't really talking. And about 8 or 9 trucks passed me. And they, you know, we were driving at 64 at the time. They were probably going 75, maybe, just zooming on past. And I was flashing them over as they would get by. Uh-huh. And I think it was on I-10. And anyway, so the last guy passes me. I flash him over and he goes, thank you, Wiener. And I said, that's Ms. Wiener to you. And everybody was laughing. And he's going, oh, I didn't mean that. Was like,
don't try and backpedal now, buddy.
That's right.
Oh, friggin' hey, that's funny.
It happens.
Yes, it does.
And then the other one, like, I was driving in Florida, I was in, going down to Tampa, and so I'm just driving along, and a couple of guys passed me. So one guy zoomed by me, and the second guy said, hey there, Miss Wiener, or Miss Warner, and I said, the other guy says, oh, I didn't see you back there. And I said, yeah, when you went by, I was changing my shirt, so you missed it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, the next 12 guys that passed me were just like, oh, you went in the window. I'm like, look, a joke, people. Come on.
Yeah, really. Yeah, well, you know, truck driver lot aren't the brightest, you know.
Yeah. The next 12 trucks passed there, they're all doing 64. Well, I know your truck is faster than that.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, they were stupefied that it was a woman. Second of all, there was a show and we missed it. You know, they didn't get on the radio right away when there's an accident, but they never get on the radio about this.
They've been on the road alone for far too long. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. I'm one guy freaking, he never even saw my face. Driving and talking on the CB for about, I don't know, an hour or so.
Uh-huh.
And then he asked me to marry him.
Wow. He's been on the road for far too long.
Dude. I know you're desperate, but come on.
Sight unseen. That's okay.
He's from West Virginia. You can share a toothbrush.
Right.
Well, he doesn't need the floss.
Right.
It's only one.
You know, he gets a
complete, oh my he gets word, a complete we're so set. Horrible. There he, goes everybody we know that we were listening to the show in West
when he stopped the truck stop and passed just back.
Replaced.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. It's been a while word. Since I've been here.
Yeah, it has been. Yep. Mr. People I'm person back. Has arrived.
Well, one I did in New Jersey. So I was in Jersey and I picked up a load and I was headed
sorry
south.
For your loss.
I know, right? We've been
right. Well, you know how they talk back to women. I mean,
yeah,
you know. So there was one guy passed me and he was saying some pretty nasty stuff to me.
Uh-huh. I can imagine.
And,
say it's not so. Not in Jersey.
Yeah. So I said, and he said, well, you know, come up here and, you know, yada, yada.
Right.
And I was like, I said, well, why don't you come back here? I said, my handle's Lorena Bobbitt, and my scissors are right here ready.
Yeah, shut him up. Okay, I'm done. Click.
Yeah, didn't even shut him up. It shut everybody up. No, I didn't hear anybody talk on that TV for 30 minutes. Right. Yeah. I could just feel all going, I was like, maybe that was a little too much. I said to my student, you know, maybe that was a little too much.
Nah, it was funny.
Short and to the point.
That's it.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's in Jersey. What can you say?
Right.
And, oh, the only thing you do is forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
I had, so I changed for just a little while trying to get out of the student thing because, like you said, you know, meeting weird people. But at least you're in charge of them. You can tell them what to do. When you're team in, you don't get that option very much.
Right.
Especially when you're team in with strangers, which is, you know, what I did because I didn't have anybody. So I had one guy. We went, I 40, I think, I don't know, whichever one goes through Flagstaff east to west. So we're driving, you know, Flagstaff's like 7,600 feet or something like that at that point. He passed out at the wheel. It was like 2 a.m. He wakes me up.
Wow.
And he goes, I passed out. He goes, luckily I didn't have the cruise set. And he came to and he was bumping the rail on sheer drop off. But going about 5 miles an hour.
Wow. So, what caused him to pass? Is this like a normal thing for him that he just kind of conks
just
out?
Just the altitude.
Or?
He couldn't breathe. I mean.
Wow. And he didn't think to pull over?
He's not used to that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but.
Like, I smoked. And anytime I got to, like, Denver height, you know, that's a mile high, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't smoke. I mean, I would, like, light it, take one puff, and go, oh, I can't do this.
There's no air. What happened?
Yeah, right. There's no air, exactly. But he just passed out from the altitude, so we stayed back east after that. They get some high mountains on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah, they do. You know, it's funny, because, like, you know, you talk about the mountains here in Pennsylvania, you know, like, you just kind of chuckle, because I know they're not mountains. It's like, you know.
These are
the Rockies.
Molehills.
These are really, right. Literally molehills, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, I've never had that happen. This is a serious question. Do you feel it coming on? Like, would you feel that coming on that, like, you would have time to say, hey, I need to pull over, you know, like it, because he passed out. It's like, you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Does that?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't know if he did or not. He didn't say.
Yeah, it's just because, anyway, everybody was okay, and we just bumped the guardrail, so.
Right.
I guess that's all right, you know. So the guardrail's for it, you know, keeps you from going off the edge.
Gives the construction guy something to do with the cones.
Right,
the next day.
Now they can repair it, right.
Yeah. I learned that a guardrail is just the truck speed bump, you know.
Right. Yeah, pretty much so. Yeah, just ask the repair guys. You know, they come through and replace it every day.
That's right.
So what else you got for us, Mickey?
Okay, so some stuff like I I remember picking up a load of beer in Fort Collins, Colorado, and this Budweiser distributor up there. I don't know if it's a plant where they make it or not. Just it's a huge place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would have bet Coors, you know, Fort Collins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It might have been. I thought it was Bud. Anyway, so I picked up a load of beer there, and I had to slide the tandem. So Warner's trailers are pretty rusty. Let's put it that way. And this was before I learned how the easy way to slide tandems. So I'm out there pulling on it with all my might, you know, leaning back, and it. The hook slipped off the end of the little lever.
The rot.
And I flew across a ditch, landed on my back on a bunch of rocks. And I'm just laying there going, yeah, I think I'm hurt.
At that point, you're laying there, and this would be me, because this is what they're just going to stay there. They'll be fine.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I'll stay there until I figure out what can move and what can't. Right.
Or I can get somebody to help me.
They can help me out at the weigh station if I got a slide.
Right, exactly. Yeah, just avoid the weigh station.
Right.
So I'm laying there for like, I don't know. There was nobody out there. It was like 3 in the morning. Nobody would have seen me. It was just dark. And I'm laying in this ditch going, no, the stars look nice.
You're just trying to recuperate and get your ego back. And, you know.
Exactly. You know.
I know. Just staring at the Aurora Borealis there.
But that was weird. So I took that load of beer down to Laredo, Texas. And so once I could get up and walk, I was bruised, but I was fine. So I had to take it down to Laredo. And so when I got into Texas, first they told me, you know, stop in safe places. Mm-hmm. But they made me go this back route down, I can't remember, 187 or something. I don't know. Anyway, 287, that's it. So I went down to Texas. And when I got into Texas, I'm on these back roads. And I went through this little checkpoint. Well, they have checkpoints all over Texas, and it's for the illegals, mostly. But then they may give them the bill of lading. They usually scan. Either they have one mounted somewhere or something, but they use infrared to see what's in, you know, if anything alive is in your load. So I get to this checkpoint, and he asked for my bill of lading, so I gave it to him. He goes, holy shit, you're hauling beer? And he goes, you should be really careful. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I know. I got friends that would kill me for a load of beer. So yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't that good. So I was running out of hours, and I'm coming this little bitty town. There was a bar. And there were a bunch of Mexicans. They were blaring Mexican music, and there were people shooting in the parking lot. And then this truck took off running, you know, down the road. And I was like, crap, I'm out of hours, and there's nowhere to stop. So found this old gas station that had been shut down. And behind it, there was like a tractor parked and some old cars, and like I could fit right there. So I just backed up in there, pulled the curtains, and slept at this closed down gas station because there was nowhere else to go. And I'm like, well, maybe they won't notice because it's, you know, just not a truck. It's a Warner truck parked back here. And nobody's going to pay attention. Right. It worked out. But
thank goodness for that. Man,
I know.
And thankfully, the cop didn't tell any of his friends that there was a beer truck in town. And
right, yeah, lucky with that. Yeah, have his friends go follow me.
Right.
I've had that. Have you ever been trailed by somebody? So we picked up a load in California. I was teaming then, and we picked up this load in California, and we walked from where the truck was loaded. They had closed the back shipping door. It was locked. So we had to walk around to the front. So I had to go through the employee parking lot. And I remember looking at this truck. It had a scrape way down the side, and it was, you know, kind of distinctive. It was just a white truck, but it had this dent in it that was weird. And I just noted it, you know, didn't even think about it. And we walked in, we got our stuff and our bill of lading and everything, and then took off. Well, we went from there through Nevada, and this one red truck kept passing us. It would pass us, and then an hour later, it would pass us again. And I'm like, this person keep getting off the road, and because they were going pretty fast, you know, when they would pass us.
Right.
Well, then that truck with the dent passed us. And then I started paying attention. Because we happened to be in the other lane where I could see the dent. So the white one had been passing us too, but I just didn't see the dent until he got in the other lane. And it passed us on the right. So so we called safety, you know, like the safety department was like, hey, we gave him the license plate of both cars. And he goes, well, I said, I know where they came from. And so he called the cops, I think, and the company. And then we never saw him again. So I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know what that was about, because it was a high value load.
Yeah, that can be kind of scary, you know, when you got a load like that, and you know, when you keep noticing the same cars go by, it doesn't make, you know, most people just travel and go, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds a little worrisome. I'm glad you were okay.
Oh yeah,
that worked out all right.
Well, I'm pretty aware of my surroundings most of the time.
So. Sure, you know, it's one thing you do learn, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I used to teach my students that too. There's a lot of things you got to think about, especially if you're a female driver.
Yeah, 100%.
Like if you drive into the trailer drop lot to pick up a trailer, I would tell them, you know, like drive around first and shine your lights under all the trailers and look for feet.
Right.
So that's number one. And number two is like, so if you get in into like Southern California and Arizona, those places, you know, don't stick your hand in any hole without looking first.
Right.
You know, you got black widows, you got scorpions, there's snakes. Okay, so I'll tell you the funny story with the snake. I had pulled into a drop and dropped my trailer, and then I had to find a different trailer. And so I'm looking for the number, and I found it. So I just backed up under it. And normally, you know, like this is where I learned, you don't back all the way under it until... You don't hook up until you're sure.
Right.
So I backed up under it and I hooked up. And so then I jumped out of the truck to go, you know, with the dollies and hook up. And there is a freaking water moccasin. It was in Louisiana. And it's wrapped around the dollies.
Wow.
Wraps around it.
And
so I jumped back in the truck, and I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? So I sat there for a minute, and I'm thinking, what do I have that I could throw at it? Well, the only thing I had was I had a brand new case of bottle of water, you know, 24 bottles in there.
Right.
So I'm standing on the truck, holding onto the steering wheel, leaning out, and chucking these water bottles at it. I probably hit it three times before it even moved, and then... The fourth time I hit it, and I wasn't hitting it every time. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that good at aim, but, I probably had four bottles left in my, you know, in my cake when it actually slithered away.
Wow. Thankfully you had four left, because had you, you know, gotten to the end, it's like, well, now what?
Right. No, I know. But that was crazy. And so after that, I learned about, you know, not backing all the way under.
You know, that's a lesson you learn and you'll never forget. You know,
that's right.
Wow.
That's right. Because you can't unhook. It's right there. Anyway.
Yeah. That is for sure. Wow. Yeah. Oh, my word. That's just crazy. I never, I mean, you know, living up here in, you know, PA, it's like, you know, what do we got? Garter snakes. You know, it's like, that's it. So
yeah.
I'm sure there's something in the mountains, but, you know, not down where we're at. So. But wow, that's got to be a lesson and a half.
You know? Yeah, that was quite the lesson. So I told my students that too.
Yeah. That's a good trainer. Somebody who thinks about all these things and passes on the information. Hey, look, this is what I've learned doing this. How about, now you get to pass it on to somebody else. But, right. How long did you drive for?
Other than the 6 months I took off from dad, probably, I don't know, 6.5 years.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Now I'm an accountant.
Are you really? Well, what took you down that road? What was it that made you kind of go to the office route, becoming an accountant?
Okay, well, here's the story. I got the big story. I picked up a load of paper in Lewiston, Idaho.
Okay.
And it was very cold. They had shut down I-84, I-80, I-90. They shut it down. And I was supposed to take I-90 and go to Billings, Montana. It's not that far. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so I picked up the load, and I just heard that they shut the road down. So I was like, okay. Because it wasn't snowing. What it was doing was they were expecting icy fog. It was about 0 degrees that day.
Okay.
And it was morning, though. It was like 10 a.m. or something like that. So I had to scale that load. So I went to the Fine J and scaled it. And it was heavy. It was right on the edge of legal. And while I was in there talking to people, I'm like, I don't want to shut down here. It's just another Flying J.
Right.
And this guy goes, oh, well, you should just take down, what it is, Highway 12. I think it was 12, Highway 12. Might have been 20. I'm not sure. Anyway, out of Lewiston, it goes to Montana. But it goes through a river canyon. And I mean a canyon. So there's mountains on both sides of the road. When I decided to go ahead and take his advice, he goes, oh, yeah, it's a good road. It's a 2-lane road. It's right by the river. There is no guardrail. It's and when I say right by the river, this river was full of chunks of ice the size of houses.
Wow.
And it was rapids. And I was probably the edge of the road to the riverbank was about 1.5 feet.
Wow. Boy, you're right on the river.
Yeah. And on one side you have mountain, and on the other side of the river you have mountain. So you've got river, mountain.
Right.
And I had no signal on anything. There was no signal on the call, they had Qualcomms. No signal on the Qualcomm, no signal on the on my cell phone. So I'm thinking, well, if I go in that river, I can't call for help. I'll be dead.
Right.
And it was heavy. It was a heavy load. And the road, and it was getting heavier because it was icy fog,
Right.
So the further I drove, the heavier it got.
Yep.
And there was nowhere to pull off. No, nothing. I passed a ranger station with a guard, like a closed gate. And that was at mile marker, So I probably drove for like 90 miles before it started getting bad. And the road was completely icy. The river was close. And I was getting scared that the road was just going to crack off because there were cracks on the road,
Wow,
that the road was just going to crack under me and I would fall in the river.
Yeah.
And so I was pretty much driving in the middle of the road. There was no other traffic, though. But I was just looking for a place to stop.
Right.
And I got 30 miles past that ranger station, almost exactly 30 miles past the ranger station. And there was a pullout on the riverside for, it was a car top boat ramp and it was closed, but they hadn't closed the parking lot. It was a tiny little parking lot. It was enough to get, there was a Jersey barrier between the parking lot and the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled on the other side of the Jersey barrier and there were trees on the river, between me and the river.
Okay.
And a little outhouse, like a port potty.
Like, port potty, right.
Yeah. But I mean, by then it was minus 10.
Wow.
And I'll tell you how cold it was. Like, I had shampoo and rinse in the corner of my bunk. That's inside the truck, right?
Yes.
We were sitting in the corner in a bag. And when I went to move them, they were frozen chunks of ice. Wow. I've never seen shampoo. I don't know what the freezing temperature is for shampoo, but.
No, you know, I don't either, but it's got to be. Apparently, it's cold.
Yeah, wow. It was freaking cold. So, I basically cuddled up in the bunk with the bunk warmer and the truck idling and the curtains all closed and just was watching TV. Right. About 10 o'clock that night, I heard something in the front, rustling sound in the front of the truck. And so I thought, what is that? So I thought maybe a mouse, you know, or something. I opened the curtain, looked in there. I couldn't see anything. And I knew I'd taken my garbage out when I went to the Flying J. So there was nothing in the, there was a little, you know, bag there for trash, but it just had paper in it. And so I hear this rustling. As soon as I thought, well, nothing's here. I don't know what that was. So I closed the curtain and sat down on the bunk. And you know how it's air ride, so it bounces when you sit.
Yep.
So it bounced, and immediately there was a huge bang on the cab, and it was like right where my head was. You know what I mean?
It's like, yeah, wow.
I had the feeling that whatever that was knew where my head was.
Right.
They were aiming for it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it was something hit the truck hard. And and I'm sitting there just frozen on the bunk going, what was that? And then it came again. And I was like, oh my God. And the smell started to get me. So there was this horrible, horrible smell. It was like a mix between wet dog and garbage in a grocery store dumpster on a hot day, you know?
Wow.
And poop, you know, it was nasty, nasty smell. And it was gagging me. It was my eyes were watering. It was gagging me. And these rocks are hitting the truck. Rocks, ice, I don't know what, you know, I just like, I'm like, that's leaving a dent. And part of me thought, I want to get in the front and see it.
Right.
Because I'm thinking, you know, bears don't throw rocks, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're safe.
If there's
that
a person out here in this kind of weather, they're knocking on the door asking for help. Right. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's my thought.
Yeah.
Because I was 60 miles from anything.
Uh-huh.
And with no signal, no nothing.
Right.
And thinking, if I stick my head up front, it's going to break the window. And then I'm going to die of freeze to death.
Right.
So I sat right where I was. It's just the truck about six times.
Wow.
And then I, exactly six times, actually. I can't forget it.
Right.
So I just sat there, and the smell would get stronger and then go away, and then stronger and then go away, and then stronger and then go away. Until it gradually out. After about 40 minutes or so, it faded away. And so I didn't move from that truck. I didn't sleep, obviously.
Right. I bet not. I know I wouldn't have.
I didn't sleep, and I couldn't go anywhere because of the road condition.
Right.
And so I just sat there quietly until morning, and I didn't even open my curtains until I heard the first car on the road in the morning. Wow. And that was about 10 a.m. And it was a cop. I heard him coming. I just cracked the curtains and looked, and he's looking at me like, what are you doing out here?
Right.
So I waited another, I got out and pre-tripped and looked at the dam, you know, and I found some rocks. And I think some of what it threw were ice chunks, honestly. And anyway, so the truck was still real heavy and stuff, but it was daylight at least. There was some traffic.
Yeah, exactly. And at least the world is coming to life. Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't see any footprints. It was solid ice. Right. You know? So, yeah, I couldn't see anything like that. There was no real sign of it except for those rocks. And wow. It's funny because I got about an hour up the road after uh-huh. leaving, and that was 20 miles an hour.
Wow.
Before I thought, you know, I should have left a jar of peanut butter or something. Probably hungry.
Right. Exactly. That's crazy. That is, yeah, that would scare the tar out of anybody, you know?
Okay, wow. So that's not what made me come off the road. What made okay. me come off the road was the rustling in the front turned out to be a freaking rat.
Oh, no kidding.
And the rat, and I kind of think that it was chasing the rat, and that's why it was all pissed off of the truck.
Right.
Because the rat chewed through the gear shift grommet.
Wow.
And got came inside. In that way and then went under the dash and lived there. And every time. So I thought it was a mouse. You know what I mean? I'm telling myself, oh, it's just a mouse. I never saw it. I saw signs of it. You know, I chewed up 3 packs of cigarettes one night. And I got all the food off the truck. I didn't carry any food or water. Just because I didn't want it to feed it, you know?
Right.
And so the water I had, I put in glass jars. And so it couldn't chew through.
Right.
But I set up all kinds of traps where I bought mouse traps and it kept getting caught in them. It did. There was signs of it, you know, like it would be moved 3 feet and end up right where the dash was. So, I mean, you know, look under your dash. There's like a gap, maybe quarter inch there.
Right.
You know, it was going through that.
Wow.
So I'm thinking mouse, right? And I come from a farming family, so I'm like, I'm not afraid of a mouse.
Right.
I didn't have a problem with that. And I finally saw it. I felt it on my feet.
Oh.
Under my covers. And I jumped up, and it went running. And that thing was bigger than my work boot. And it had this straggly looking fur coat, like a winter coat. Okay. Uh-huh. Like it's shedding or something.
Yeah.
And, but it was gigantic. And I was like, holy crap, how is it going under the dash? Well, so I'm living with this rat and I'm telling my boss about it. At that time I was, working for Warner, but I was actually driving the truck that was a owner op truck.
Okay.
But it signed on with Warner. So I was hauling Warner freight, but I was working for this other guy. And I told him about it. So he said, well, okay. He said, deliver this load. So I was going to get sleep, you know?
Right.
And so then when I saw it, I totally freaked out on it. I'm like, you know, I got to go home. I got to go home. I can't stay here in this truck. And he goes, oh, it's okay. It's okay. He goes, I'll get you a hotel after this load. Yeah, I'll get you a hotel and we'll get a pest control guy out there to take care of it. So, okay. So I went to this hotel in Little Rock. It was Little Rock, Arkansas. And home base for that guy was in North Carolina. It was in Charlotte.
Okay.
Okay. So, I delivered my spray and I went to the hotel. The pest guy came out and he goes, well, I've got this poison. He goes, just one nibble of this will kill him. You know? So he put like 6 of these bar things that were supposed to be poison.
Right.
Underneath the driver's seat, underneath the passenger seat, in the front, and in the corner of the bunk, you know. Puts them in there. I go to the hotel. Next morning, he comes back and we're looking for him. They're all gone.
Wow.
They were all gone. We couldn't find them until. We moved the passenger seat forward and they fell out of the bottom of the passenger seat.
Wow.
So we had carried him up there.
Not as deadly as he said, huh?
Right.
I guess not.
You know what my version of pest control would be? Light the truck up. You got insurance, right?
Right. I know, right? And, so anyway, he goes, well, they have to be gone. He goes, because there were little pieces of it, you know, here and there.
Right.
He goes, obviously it chewed on him. It's going to be dead. So he goes, don't worry about it. So I took off, got another load, right? I'm driving that night, and I was still in Arkansas, and it got really cold that night. I think 9 degrees, probably.
Wow.
And so I was idling, you know, sleeping, and I decided, well, you know, my company didn't want me to idle. So I'm like, well, I got a bunk room, or I'll just turn it off. So I turned it off, and I was almost asleep, and I felt this thing under the covers with me.
Wow.
Because it was the only warm place in the truck, right?
Yep. Turned the heat off. Right. Everything got cold.
Howdy, man. Yeah. Move over.
I know. So I jumped up, and I called him up, and I was like, you know, no, uh-uh. He goes, well, I'll get another postcard. I said, no, I'm coming back to North Carolina. He goes, I'm getting a load there tomorrow. Coming back to North Carolina, I'm getting out of this truck. So, because I'm not an abandoner, but, you know, right. I wasn't going to abandon it, but I was going to take it back. So, I didn't sleep. I got a load to Charlotte mm-hmm. the day, and then I got out of the truck. I went to a hotel, and I rented a car. And he came and begged me to take another truck. And I'm like, look, so when I started unloading the truck, there was signs that there were several of them in there.
Wow.
I don't know if he was picking them up at truck stops or if they had babies, you right. know, I don't know. But wow. there was signs of a nest under the bunk.
Get you know, out. Wow.
Under the bunk.
That's it, where it you're had, sleeping.
Taking like paper towels and made nests out of it. So it was in everything, you know, uh-huh. there were signs of it in my clothes and, you know, everything. And I was like, no, because I had read some stuff by then, Googled, you know.
Right.
Yeah, because you're not sleeping, so you're up.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, they drop little trails of pee everywhere they go. All and right. so other ones will follow that pee. And so I'm like, no, because everything I have now smells like rat pee.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I didn't really notice it that much, but I'm like, no, I'm not going through another truck stop. Uh-uh. None of this stuff.
Wow.
So I drove back to Florida, and then, and that was it. That was the end of it. That was 2011.
Okay. And
that was done.
Yeah,
the rats done did get her.
It did.
The rat got me. Yeah, I can't handle wow. that. I can handle a lot of stuff, but not that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I don't find rodents fun. You know, they're just not. So I don't blame you at all. I would get out of it too.
Right.
Wow. So you haven't seen any rats, you know, since?
At least my sister had rats. I tell you what, I can spot signs of rats yeah. or see them when other people can't. Yeah. You know, like, you know,
she can spot my sister's house at 1,000 yards.
Yeah. I spent the night at my sister's house, and the next morning I said, well, I'm going to go back to mom's house. I said, because you have rats in your roof and in your ceiling. And she's like, oh, no, I don't. Well, 3 weeks later, she found out she did. I'm robbing you.
Wow. Like, yeah. See, I told you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now I'm a rat detector.
Along with being an accountant.
Right. Right. Yeah, I went back to school online for that. I was taking care of my, so my grandson was born with them. Well, not born with, he has a, you know, what's up? Autistic, sorry.
Okay, it's all right. No, yeah, it's me. Okay, yeah.
I'd love to help you out, but, you know, we could be naming yeah, a lot.
Yeah, right? So I took care of him uh-huh. pretty much while my daughter worked until he turned 7 and went to school. And then, but during that time, I did get my accounting degree.
That's awesome. Good. That is really awesome. You enjoy doing that?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Good.
Work for a little winery.
Nice.
Yeah. All the booze you can drink.
Yeah. $10 a day and everything you drink.
Everything you drink. You know, after 12 p.m., the books get a little fuzzy. All accounting's done before 11.
Oh, shit. How to Win Friends and Influence People. But no, that's awesome. I'm really glad. I'm glad you found a career and a path for yourself. That's great. That is really awesome. And on your way there, you got to learn how to drive a truck and teach other people how to drive a truck and have a bunch of fun stories. The only question I have for you is, what do you think was outside your truck that frosty night?
Oh, I think it was a Bigfoot.
There you go. I was thinking. That's where my brain was at. I didn't know. Yeah. And I just wanted to ask. I just figured I'd throw it out there. And that was an interesting story. That was really interesting.
Or was it just the West Virginia truck driver didn't shave? Just saying.
She wasn't in West Virginia.
I know that. He followed her.
That was
in the red pickup truck.
right.
That was really, it was an interesting story, and I really appreciate it. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on?
Well, I have one other, it wasn't really a similar encounter, but I was driving from Reno to Provo, Utah. And that's a back road. It's US 50. And it's a beautiful drive, but it was winter time. So it was probably 10 degrees that day. But it hadn't snowed for a while, but it had snowed within the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty heavy load again. And so they have a lot of uphills and then downhills. And you drive up this hill, and by the time you get to the top, you're going 20, 25. And then you come through this cut and you look down in the valley and you can see all the way down and there's like a little lake there. It's frozen over and, it's just gorgeous. But there's nothing out there. It's one of those places where it's, 180 miles to the next gas station thing. And nothing out there, nobody out there. and so I was, driving up here. I was about 20 miles an hour by the time I got to this one hill crest and mountain crest, whatever you want to call it. And there were some rocks and then snow-covered ground and like a little hill that came up to the road and then a road cut that went straight up on the other side of the road. And I see human-like footprints in the snow. And they were pretty big. I mean, my brother wears a size 13. I think they were probably a little bit bigger than that. And I'm thinking, it's cold. Why would anybody be out here barefoot? And so they went from one side of the road. They came up to the road and then milled about a little bit, like four or five, here and there. And then straight up the other side of the road to the mountain top, the road cut. And so I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, oh, my God, that's the only one thing that could be, right?
Right.
There's no cover out there. There's no bears, no trees, except for down around the ponds and in the valleys. And so I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what is that? So I'm pretty excited. I'm like, I want a picture. So the next place I could pull out the truck was about a mile down the road. So I get her stopped and I grab my camera before I had I still had a flip phone.
Right.
So I go running up that road and I get about a quarter mile from the truck and I thought, what if somebody comes? Then you're a woman out here with nowhere to run.
Right.
You're gonna be a mile from the truck, and what if it comes back?
Let me rethink this.
So I slowed down and then I stopped and then I turned back around and ran back to the truck.
That's the more prudent thing. Yeah, there you go. That's the word I'm looking for.
For sure.
That's good. Yeah. Well, Mickey, this has been a blast. We really have enjoyed ourselves. I haven't laughed like this for a while, and it was good. It was really good. I had a really good time. And, if you ever think of other stories or anything like that, and you want to come back on, just shoot me an email again. I'd love, we'd definitely love to talk to you again. And just keep us updated how things are going. It was really glad. Do me a favor. Hang on the phone. I always forget to tell people this is the beginning of the show before we start recording. So just hold on for a second after we sign off. And We just want to say thank you so much, Mickey, for coming on. And we hope everybody out there enjoys the show. And if they enjoy the show, Shipper, what can they do?
They can encourage more women to call.
Amen, brother.
They can share the show with everybody. Yes. Anybody, anything. Anything climbing up the side of a mountain.
On
whatever.
Any social media platform. Share it with friends and enemies and frenemies. And
whatever.
Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and whatever else.
Maybe not TikTok. You never know with the government.
Well, we didn't say anything about it. Yeah.
That's a little scratchy issue.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. But anyway, thank you so much for listening, everyone. We hope you have a good day. Take care of yourself.
Keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Amen. Say good night.
You'll never guess the places that I've been. You'll never guess the places that I've been. Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. I'm never gonna let the day begin. Never gonna let the day begin. Everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. Oh, don't wake me up before you go, and I'll just make this bed my home. Oh, darling, please just let me sleep. Give me my dreams.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.